everyone, and happy Father's Day to our dads. If you're new to Grace, we're really glad that you're here and you decided to celebrate Father's Day with us today. My name's John Tiernan. I'm the site pastor at our Harbor Creek location. And since many of you don't know me very well, I wanted to tell you a little bit about me. I can sing every word to Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes by Paul Simon. Dessert is a non-negotiable follow-up to dinner for me every night. I can hit a golf ball pretty well, sometimes. I can edit a paper for grammar mistakes, and I can tell some really cheesy dad jokes. You don't believe me? How did the Australian pay for his chess set? He used a check, mate. Oh yeah, that's an original. Another important thing for you to know about me is that I am David Tiernan's son. Who is David Tiernan? He's the guy that taught me to play golf, to love dessert, to listen to Paul Simon, to correct grammar, and oh yes, to tell some fantastic dad jokes. One of his favorites that I've survived was right before dinner saying, "Carrots, celery, let us pray." I still have trouble eating salad. And even though I thought his jokes were lame, his music was terrible, golf was way too frustrating, and having my grammar corrected all the time was super annoying, I ended up learning all these things from my dad almost unconsciously, and in the end, really enjoying them like he does. And now, when I see my 5-year-old son Braden hit a golf ball, or sing lyrics to one of my favorite songs, or get excited to tell a knock-knock joke, I realize that my dad's influence didn't stop with me. And what's even crazier, it didn't start with my dad. Tom Tiernan, my grandfather, who passed away when I was 2 years old, was a passionate golfer, a master of puns, and a grammar whiz. My son Braden never met his great-grandfather, but Braden has been and will be undeniably shaped by Tom Tiernan's influence. I'm sure you've watched this phenomenon play out in your life. You can see interests, abilities, habits, personality traits in yourself that you picked up through repeated observation. The inevitable influence we have on others, especially our kids, should make us think about what we want to intentionally pass on to them. Don't get me wrong, I definitely want my kids, to love golf and music and corny jokes. But those aren't the most important things that I want them to learn from me. If you got to choose one thing that your kids or the people closest to you would pick up from watching you live your life, what would it be? That's a hard but really helpful question, isn't it? What is the one most valuable thing I could pass on through my example? Today we're going to look at a story about Daniel that many of us are familiar with. This story highlights one of Daniel's defining characteristics, something that set him apart and makes his example so valuable for us to study 2,500 years later. This trait is what allowed him to thrive in a godless culture despite the obstacles and opposition that he faced. This characteristic that Daniel exemplifies is something I hope and pray I'm able to pass on to my kids. If you have your Bibles or a device, go ahead and turn to Daniel chapter 6. We'll be reading out of the English Standard Version, ESV, and I'll be giving you some verses to underline or highlight, some notes to write in the margin of your Bible. If this is new to you, I encourage you to try it out, see if it helps you understand and engage with God's Word in a more meaningful way. If you don't have an ESV Bible with you, the guest experience team will be coming around with some printouts of the verses, so you can just put your hand up and they'll get a copy to you. You can do that now. Last week, Pastor Brian talked about two kings of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar and his son Belshazzar, both of whom were living as though they didn't need God. God used Daniel to interpret their dreams and visions, trying to get their attention and warn them of his judgment. Nebuchadnezzar finally came to his senses and praised God as the king of heaven. But Belshazzar continued in pride and rejection of God, despite his father's example. We are reminded that there is no one who's out of God's reach. But there comes a time when God stops trying to get our attention. Daniel chapter 5 ends with Belshazzar being killed as his judgment from God, and Darius the Mede receiving the kingdom, just as Daniel predicted. So there's a new king in town, and we're going to see how Daniel handles another leader who has no regard for God. Let's read Daniel 6, starting with the first verse. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, or governors, to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." So King Darius makes Daniel one of the three presidents in his kingdom, the highest position of authority next to the king himself. Darius observes how well Daniel excels in this role and makes plans to promote him even higher, to set him over the whole kingdom. The other high officials and satraps are not happy about this. We don't like it when other people get promoted and we don't, right? So they start looking for ways to sabotage Daniel's promotion. If they can get King Darius to believe that Daniel's not as great as he thinks he is, then they can get Daniel out of their way. There's only one problem. They can't find anything wrong with the guy. He doesn't cut corners. He doesn't mistreat the people that work for him. He doesn't talk bad about the king behind his back. He doesn't even go on Facebook while he's at work. I mean, this guy's good. The only way they're going to get Daniel in trouble is if it has to do with following God's law. Did you catch Daniel's defining characteristic? It says he was faithful. He was faithful. This is what set Daniel apart. This is what made him great. This is what makes his story worth reading and his life worth emulating. Daniel was faithful. How did we see his faithfulness? He was faithful first to God. The only angle these high officials could think of to get Daniel in trouble had to be in connection with his unwavering devotion to God. At this point, we're not surprised by his faithfulness to God. We've seen him demonstrate this time and time again. From resolving not to eat the king's food, to boldly speaking the truth about God in front of King Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. Daniel wasn't only faithful to God, though. He was also faithful to the king. Daniel's example teaches us a valuable lesson. Being faithful to God means being faithful to others. He was faithful to King Darius, even though Darius was an ungodly leader. Daniel honored his king in heaven by being faithful to his king on earth. And Daniel was faithful also to his job. He demonstrated character, integrity, excellence, and responsibility in the way he did his job and exercised his authority. So it's helpful right at the beginning for us to ask, what does it mean to be faithful? You might think of words like devoted, loyal, constant, committed, and those are all great, but here's a definition of faithfulness I want us to consider for today. Faithfulness means consistent follow-through. Faithfulness is more than just having faith. It's all about acting on that faith, following through with what we say we believe. In the book of James, we're told that faith without works is dead. Another way to say it is that faith that doesn't lead to follow through is worthless. I want you to underline those three words in verse 4. He was faithful. And right in the margin, consistent follow through. This is what we see in Daniel over and over again. Consistent follow through in his job, consistent follow through in serving the king, consistent follow through in living out his faith in God, even when it was easier and safer not to. As we read this story, I want us to learn several lessons from Daniel's example of faithfulness. Lesson number one is that faithfulness leads to being trusted and gaining influence. Let's underline or highlight all of verse 3. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. And in the margin, write trust and influence. Now, this isn't a guarantee in life. Just because you are faithful doesn't mean you'll always gain trust and influence. But generally speaking, when someone demonstrates faithfulness over and over again, you trust them, right? And that's exactly what happened to Daniel. King Darius saw him as a valuable leader because he had an excellent spirit in him. He had character and integrity. He was distinguished among the other presidents and officials. And King Darius planned to set him over the whole kingdom. If Daniel didn't consistently follow through with the jobs Darius asked him to do, he would not have trusted him with a position of greater authority and influence. Daniel lives out Solomon's advice to his son in Proverbs 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Solomon had seen this faithfulness in his father David, a man after God's own heart. David wasn't perfect, but he saw how David's faithfulness to God led to faithfulness to others, making him a leader people wanted to follow. Similarly, Daniel's faithfulness to God translated into faithfulness to his boss and his job. He was given huge influence and responsibility because he was faithful in the role he'd been given. There's a woman at Grace Harbor Creek named Carrie, who had been a teacher in a local school district for 13 years. She had several different positions along the way, including teaching special education and first and second grade. The faithfulness that she demonstrated to her students and their parents, to her administrators and coworkers, to the community that she taught in, opened the door for her to be hired as the assistant principal at the elementary school this year. I'm convinced that she gained people's trust and was given a position of greater influence as a result of her consistent follow-through in her positions, her previous positions. For my fellow dads in the room, when you consistently follow through with your kids, their trust in you grows and your influence deepens. When you show up to their sporting events and performances, when you make time to play with them and talk with them about the important things in their life, when you help them with their homework and teach them new things, when they see you walk the walk, they listen to what you have to say. Faithfulness is the foundation that allows for effective discipline and hard conversations to take place. That foundation of faithfulness allows mistakes to be made on your part and apologies to be accepted, because our kids know without a doubt that they are loved based on our actions. All right, now that we've learned that faithfulness leads to trust and influence, let's keep reading to learn our next lesson from Daniel. Then these presidents and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction, that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. So the high officials come up with their plan to trap Daniel. They play to the pride of King Darius and convince him into signing this law that forbids anyone to pray to any god or man other than the king. And if anyone breaks the law, they get thrown to the lions, literally. How do you think Daniel responds when he hears about this new law? Listen to this. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to the house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Does Daniel stop praying to God out of fear of being killed? Does Daniel at least close his window so no one can see him praying? No way, not Daniel. He continues to do what he has probably been doing for years, kneeling before his God and praying three times a day. Daniel's like, you know what? Haters gonna hate, hate. But I'm just gonna pray. Or something like that. I want you to underline the second sentence in verse 10. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. And in the margin, write, God-centered habit. The second lesson that we learn from Daniel is that faithfulness is rooted in God-centered habits. This passage pulls back the curtain to one of the keys to Daniel's faithfulness, his habit of praying three times a day. We don't know how long Daniel had been praying three times a day like this, but when it says as he had done previously, we get the sense that this had become a regular habit in his daily life. This is another example of Daniel's consistent follow-through. Daniel didn't instantly become faithful when things got bad. He developed faithfulness over time. Day by day, year after year, he learned to be faithful while surrounded by ungodliness. Why was praying three times a day so important for Daniel? Prayer was his weapon against distraction, discouragement, and discontentment. Prayer refocused his heart, it encouraged his faith, and it helped him stay thankful. Here's the secret. Faithfulness in your public life starts with God-centered habits in your private life. Faithfulness in your public life starts with God-centered habits in your private life. The idea of making prayer or reading the Bible a consistent part of your life might be intimidating because you've never done it before. Or maybe you've tried it before and you gave up. And it's discouraging to try again. But let me encourage you, God-centered habits are too valuable to give up on. Keep going until they become a part of your daily life like they were for Daniel. And watch the impact they have on your life, on your faith, and on the people around you. Start small. Be realistic, but start now. Maybe it's praying on your drive to work or during the first few minutes of the kids' nap time. Maybe it's reading the Bible while you eat breakfast or during your lunch break. A lot of people use reading plans on the Bible app so they know what to read each day. That's super helpful. I spoke to a dad recently that had started reading a chapter of the Bible with his teenage son every night before bed. This is a God-centered habit that not only helps them grow closer in their relationship with God, but also in their relationship with each other. I know for me and my son, our time reading his Jesus Storybook Bible and praying together before he goes to bed has become such special time for both of us. And I'm amazed at how much a five-year-old can understand about God. What God-centered habit do you want to incorporate into your daily life? Okay, let's continue reading to see what happens to Daniel. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he had heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. He labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Are you surprised by how distraught King Darius is? You can tell that Daniel's faithfulness to him and to God have had a significant impact on him. So much so that he tries to figure out a way to deliver Daniel from this death sentence. But the high officials knew that once the king signed the injunction, there was no going back. In this culture, the law was God. For a king to undo a law that he signed was to completely undermine his own authority and disrespect the legal system. So when they catch Daniel praying and report him to the king, they know that Darius's hands are tied. And sure enough, despite the king's desire to rescue him, he carried out the law and had Daniel thrown into the lion's den. I want you to underline or highlight the first part of verse 16. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. And in the margin, write, faithfulness will cost you. This is our third lesson from Daniel. Faithfulness will cost you. While Daniel experienced the trust and influence that comes from faithfulness, he also experienced the sacrifice that faithfulness costs us as well. Remember, faithfulness is consistent follow-through. It's not following through only when it's convenient and comfortable. It's following through no matter what obstacles stand in your way. It's staying true to God at all costs. Daniel's faithfulness cost him his reputation and put his life at risk. Not everyone's going to admire your faithfulness. It may lead people to judge you or resent you, to talk about you behind your back. It may cost you your reputation, your position, your status. It may lead to consequences that are hard to bear. I want to remind us of an important lesson we've learned from Daniel. Use discernment to decide when God wants you to take a stand and when he doesn't. Daniel let them call him a different name. He studied their literature. He even served as a leader in their kingdom. But he would not stop praying to his God. He drew a line ahead of time that he resolved not to cross. and he was willing to deal with the consequences of being faithful. Daniel's faithfulness cost him something else that we can easily overlook. His faithfulness to God cost him time. He let his work and life be interrupted 3 times every day. Do you ever think about that? If you were second in command over an entire kingdom, it'd be pretty easy to justify being too busy to pray. He had a ton of responsibility, yet he still made time to be alone with God every day. And so I ask you, what does your faithfulness cost you? Oftentimes, we don't even want to sacrifice our convenience or our comfort, let alone our reputations, our jobs, or our lives. Are you willing to sacrifice something in order to live a life of faithfulness? Maybe it means sacrificing income because of your decision to be honest about your hours at work, or sacrificing popularity because you refuse to mistreat others to make yourself look better. Maybe it means sacrificing sleeping in, or going to the beach, or getting stuff done around the house in order to make church a priority for you and your family. Dads, your kids know what's most important to you. They know what you sacrifice time and energy and money for, whether that's golf or your lawn or your job or your faith. I pray that our kids see how important God is to us by our willingness to make sacrifices in order to be faithful to Him. Daniel's faithfulness is challenging to all of us. We have one more lesson to learn from Daniel, so let's keep reading. Then, at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" In this moment, Darius wants to believe so badly that Daniel's God is real and that he's come to Daniel's rescue. We've all been there in that moment of desperation, haven't we? Even people who claim to have no faith find themselves wanting there to be a God who can do something when someone that they care about is in danger. And then Darius hears a response. Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. What a miraculous scene to witness. The guy everyone thought was mauled to death by hungry lions is brought out of this den without a scratch. And what's Daniel's explanation? I want us to underline that second sentence of verse 22. "My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths that have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm." And in the margin, write, "faithfulness will be rewarded." This is our lesson, our final lesson from Daniel. Faithfulness will be rewarded. Daniel tells King Darius that his God, whom he serves continually, has indeed delivered him. Why? Because he was faithful. Daniel says he was found blameless before God and had done no harm to the king. God rewarded Daniel's faithfulness. But there's more to this story. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. King Darius was so rocked by this miracle of God rescuing Daniel from the lion's den that he decides to send a message to the entire world, letting them know how awesome Daniel's God is. So first God saves Daniel's life, and then God uses Daniel's story to let the world know that he is the living God. Never underestimate the impact God can have through your faithfulness. Now, before you go jumping into the lion's exhibit at the zoo so God can perform a miracle in your life, let's be clear. We are not promised deliverance from every lion. God won't deliver us from every dangerous or difficult situation. We might not see Him use our example of faithfulness to have the impact we hope to on others. But we are promised to be rewarded for our faithfulness. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." Sometimes God rewards us by showing up in a powerful way like He did for Daniel. And we should always pray for Him to use our faithfulness as a witness to His greatness. But we have to remember, God Himself is our greatest treasure. Being part of His kingdom and His family, that's our greatest reward. And because of our faith in Jesus Christ, that reward will be ours for all eternity. We stay faithful to God, we trust our eternal reward, and we let Him decide when and how to reward us in this life. As we look back on this story, I want to ask a tough question. Who's the hero? Who's the hero of this story? Daniel, right? No. Daniel knew he wasn't the hero. But what makes Daniel's example so powerful is that it points everyone watching to the true hero, the living God. God is the one that heard Daniel's prayers. God's the one that delivered Daniel from the lion's den. He's the hero throughout the book of Daniel, throughout the Bible, and throughout our lives. God's the one who is always faithful, unwavering in His love and devotion for us, following through to keep His promises. He's the one that came to earth and died on a cross in our place to show His undying devotion to us, to save us from our own unfaithfulness and to empower us with His Spirit to live a new life that we could walk in increasing faithfulness, having our heart be more and more like His. If you try to live a life of faithfulness apart from God, apart from Jesus, you're missing the point. You're trying to be the hero of your story. Don't pretend to be the hero. Let Jesus be the hero of your story. Let Jesus be the hero in your marriage, in your family, in your job. He makes a much better hero than we do. Amen? Our job is to point others to the real hero through our trust and faithfulness to Him, just like Daniel did. I want to give you two challenges as we close. The first challenge is to thank someone for their faithfulness. We all need this encouragement. Think of someone in your life who has impacted you by their faithfulness and let them know how grateful you are. The second challenge is to take a step toward faithfulness. If you're like me, you're painfully aware of some areas in your life where you're lacking faithfulness and follow through. Maybe you've been dropping the ball for some time, and today is the day to start turning things around. What is one step you want to take towards faithfulness? What's one way that you want to consistently follow through? Maybe it's developing a God-centered habit. Maybe it's making quality time with your kids or your spouse a priority. Maybe it's sacrificing some of your limited free time to be at church every week. Taking this step will cost you something, but faithfulness is always worth it. At the beginning of my message, I talked about some of the things that were passed down from my grandfather to my dad, to me, and to my son. But not everything that we pass on to our children is good for them. As we all know, not all influence is good influence. Alcoholism was one of those things for my grandfather. My dad developed the same unhealthy relationship with alcohol that he saw his dad have. For my dad, it started in high school and followed him through the military, college, and grad school. It followed him into his career and into his marriage and parenting. His alcoholism was destroying his relationship with my mom and essentially ruining his life. Alcoholism could have been the example that my dad passed on to me. But when I was 3 years old, my dad asked God to help him stop drinking. He started faithfully attending AA meetings and going to church every week. A few years later, he surrendered his life to Christ and has been growing as a follower of Jesus ever since. When I was little, I had no idea any of this was going on. But here's what I remember. My dad kneeling beside my bed every night and saying the Lord's Prayer with me before I went to bed. My dad taking me to church every Sunday, If we were on vacation, we'd find a church to go to. If I slept over at a friend's house on a Saturday night, he would pick me up in the morning in time to make it to church. Church was too important in his mind to miss. I remember seeing my dad's Bible in the bathroom. Everyone has their spot. I remember my dad volunteering as a greeter at church. I remember going with my dad and my mom to their life group on Friday nights. I had no idea that my dad was only a few years ahead of me in figuring out his faith in Jesus. He was my dad. I just assumed that he had it all figured out. It wasn't until I was a little older that he told me more of his spiritual journey. You see, my dad was not a spiritual superstar when I was growing up. He was far from perfect. And I'm sure there's things that going back, if he could do it again, he'd do differently. But my dad's faithfulness in these areas made a huge impact on my life, on my faith, and my relationship with God. He decided to make Jesus the hero of his story. He chose to turn from alcohol and develop faithfulness to God, which translated into faithfulness to our family. He became an example of consistent follow-through in going to church every week, praying with me every night, building relationships with other Christians, and making the Bible a regular part of his life. If I get to choose, I want to be an example of faithfulness to my kids. Faithfulness to God, faithfulness to others. There's nothing more valuable that I could pass on than a life of faith in action. I want to pray for us as we close. So would you bow your heads, close your eyes? And if there's a specific step that God's leading you to take today, I want you to raise your hand as your way of saying to God, God, I hear you speaking. I want to take this step of faithfulness and I need your help. So if that's you, if there's a step you want to take today, would you just raise your hand as eyes are closed and heads are bowed as I pray? Father God, we thank you for how faithful you are to us, that it's your faithfulness that gives us hope. It gives us a sense that we can be like you. By the power of your Spirit, Lord, I pray that as hands are raised in all these different rooms, that you would come alongside us, that you would empower us to be like Daniel, to be faithful to you no matter what the cost, to develop God-centered habits, to walk in faithfulness and consistent follow-through, not only to you, but to the other people in our life, to our spouse, to our kids, to our coworkers, and that faithfulness would point others to you, Lord, as we make you the hero of our story. We love you, and we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.